Amen. All right. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 15. We'll be in Acts chapter number 15. And then I'm going to have you turn to some other places here because I want to lay a groundwork on a truth that I want to try to bring to your attention tonight. And I don't know, I've got about six or seven verses. We won't look at all of them, but I want to look at some of them here. And then just kind of preach to your heart tonight. Maybe stir you up a little bit with what the Word of God has to say. Acts chapter number 15 and verse number 18. The Bible says this, Acts 15, verse number 18. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication, and from things strangled and from blood. And I want you to notice what verse 21 says. For Moses of, what's the next two words? Old time hath in every city them that preach him. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. And verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 3, the Bible says here, this is speaking about wives to these unbelieving husbands here at the beginning, and Peter is instructing these relationships here, husband and wife and the home and such. Verse number 3, the Bible says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair or of wearing of gold. Now let me just stop right there and say this, that's not saying, ladies, don't fix your hair. It's not saying you can't wear any jewelry, because if that be true, then the last part, amen, you couldn't wear clothes either. Or putting on of apparel. He's not talking about not doing these things. He's talking about moderation and modesty. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in thee, what's the next two words? Old time. The holy women also, trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Look at 2 Peter, just one book over. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Don't get weary with having to turn in your Bible. Verse number 20, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20, the Bible says this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in, what's the next two words? Old time, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now turn your Bible to the book of Jeremiah chapter number 18. We'll give you two more and then I'll get right into the message. Jeremiah chapter number 18, that's in the Old Testament. I wanted to start in the New, because many people, if you start in the book of Jeremiah, they say, well, you're just preaching that Old Testament stuff. Well, it's also in the New Testament. And while you're turning there, I want to say there has been an attack against old-time religion in the day in which we're living in. There's an attack against the way we do things, the way we have church. And so I want to just try to encourage you tonight about who we are, what we stand for, why we do what we do on this Wednesday night, and why are we old-time, old-time Christians, old-time worship, old-time preaching, because it's Bible. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse number 15, look at what the indictment was on the people of God in Jeremiah's day. Verse 15, the Bible says, because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity. And they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths. You see that? Sounds kind of like old time to me. To walk in paths in a way not cast up. They're walking in a new way, a new trail, a new path. Now one more place and then we'll preach a little bit tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 6. Jeremiah chapter number 6 and verse number 16. Many of you know these verses. Let's back up to Jeremiah 6 verse number, let's see here. Let's look at verse number 14. Jeremiah 6 verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace? Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, neither were they not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. That sounds like the day in which we're living in. Therefore, the Bible says, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Verse 16 is where I want to look tonight. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the, what's the next two words? Old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But sadly, at the end of the verse, they said, we will not walk therein. And God said in verse 17, also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But again, they said, we will not hearken. We're living in a day where old-time religion is frowned upon, where This old-time worship that we have been raised under, maybe the way you've been to church, the way you've been trained and taught, the ways that it used to be are now frowned upon and attacked, and there are many that are going in a new way, according to what Jeremiah said. They're blazing new trails, they're blazing new paths, and they're getting off the old paths. They're going away from the ancient paths, from the way that's not cast up. And God said, hey, I set some watchmen over you. You know, tonight I thank God for the watchmen that the Lord has set in my life. Amen? You say, what is a watchman tonight? A watchman in your Bible, I looked up the word watchman. A watchman in military affairs is a soldier sent to watch or to guard an army or a camp or other place from surprise, to observe the approach of danger and to give notice of it. These watchmen in the Bible, according to the Word of God, these watchmen have been sent there by God. I say, number one, by means of introduction, about these watchmen. Watchmen must be called by God. The Bible talks about how God, the Bible says in Isaiah 21, verse number 6, He said, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. In other words, watchmen have been set over us to declare what they see. They've been called by God. They're not mama called or papa sent. They're God called men that were sent to set upon a wall, and they are to just simply do exactly what their title is. They are to watch man. They're men that set to watch. They set up in the night to see things that maybe those behind the wall cannot see. They are set there to declare what they see, to give notice of apparent danger or the approach of an enemy that is coming to attack the home or the establishment or whatever it is they're set to watch over. But these watchmen, they were appointed, and in particular the Bible says here that God set watchmen over them to hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we don't want to listen to the watchmen. We don't want to listen to what the watchman has to say, because watchmen are called, but not only that, watchmen are controversial men. These watchmen, you know what they do? They declare what they see. And sometimes what you see is not very popular, is it? You see, a watchman, they would say, hey, the enemy's come. I see a danger in your life. And you know, God sent some watchmen in our life. He set some watchmen in our life. And those watchmen, they see things that you cannot see. The watchman had a high position. They could see further. You know, that's what a man of God is, by the way, tonight. He is the watchman in your life. The Bible talks about it, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 2. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the what? The oversight thereof. That word oversight means watchful care. That's what a pastor is in the New Testament, is a type and picture of a watchman. They watch some things. They can see some things that you cannot see. You say, I just don't see that. They see the future. They see the end result. They see the things that are disguised. They see the mirage. They see the enemy. They can see off on down the road. Sometimes we preach to young people, and young people say, I just don't see it. You know why? All they can see is the moment, but a watchman can see way on down the road. He can see the end result. He can see the enemy coming. And the Bible said there that they said, we will not hearken, because they're controversial. They just simply declare what they see. So these men were called, they're controversial, and watchmen have some consequences in their life. These consequences is this: he's not going to be very popular. Watchmen are going to be misunderstood. You as a Christian father or a husband, you know what you are in your home? You're a watchman. You've been set over your home as an overseer to watch. And many times, maybe your wife might misunderstand you, or your children may misunderstand you, or your family may misunderstand you. But you know what you got to do? You just simply got to do what God told you to do. Amen. Operate in the boundaries of the Word of God. He is not popular. He's misunderstood. He's underappreciated. Watchmen are underpaid. They're underminded. But he's just simply God's man with God's message that's just watching. So with that thought in mind tonight, by the way, when a watchman watches and a man of God watches and he preaches and he does what the Lord tells him to do, God had to remind Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 8, he said this: be not afraid of their faces. He said, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Proverbs said it this way in Proverbs 21:29, a wicked man hardeneth his face. You ever seen a man like that? Their face is hardened. Their countenance, you could see the wickedness of their countenance. You say, how can I see that? All you got to do is just watch. And the watchman, the Bible says, God said, hey, when you look at their faces, don't be afraid of their faces. Because he's a controversial man that God has set over. He's called, he's controversial. He has consequences. But tonight, here's what I want to preach on in light of this thing, of what we looked at, where the Bible says that we are to be old time. In that New Testament, he said, as it was in the old time. As it was in old time. Three different times the Bible talks about that old time religion, that old time Christianity that you and I tonight are at the East River Baptist Church. That's why I'm here, because God has set a watchman in this church who is an old time preacher. He's an old-time pastor. He's not looking to build crowds. That's why you don't see people joining the church every time Sunday morning runs around. Or just anybody can come. You know why? He's not interested in being the newfangled way. He's not interested in blazing a new trail. Why? He's trying to do things the old-time way, because he is watching for your souls. There's a reason why there's much charity and there's much harmony and there's much unity, because God has set a watchman to cultivate in our church that old-time religion that God has set us on. I thank God for the blazed path. I thank God for the beat-down path of the old-time way that we are a part of, that God let us be a part of as an old-time Christian. I thank God for it tonight. I'm not ashamed of it. I thank God that the Lord allowed me, amen, to be born in the family that I was born in. And he allowed me to go through some things that I went through. And by the way, he hadn't always been perfect. Sometimes it's been hard. My daddy was a preacher and my parents ended up divorcing. I remember the day when my dad had to stand up and resign the church and our home was blown all to hell and back. Man, my heart was broken, and my sister went this way, and I went this way, and daddy went this way, and mama went this way. I ended up with my grandparents with a broken heart, but God used it to get me in a place in my life. And he said, hey, I got something for you. And he allowed me to go to that old-time church in Durant, Oklahoma, that I probably would have never went to if I wouldn't have been through the trials that I went through. I sat on the seventh row back, and God allowed me to sit under an old-time preacher with an old-time message and an old-time Bible and an old-time philosophy and an old-time conviction. And God used it in my life because he allowed me to go through some things. And I want to say tonight, I thank God for it. So tonight, here's what I want to preach on just for a few minutes. I want to preach on tonight on not on my watch. Not on my watch. Now, I got some things I wrote down tonight in light of this idea of God setting a watchman over us to protect us from the new way, to protect us from going off of the ancient path, from to protect us from going off of the old paths, to help us not be indicted with the same indictment as these in Jeremiah chapter number 6 that said, we will not walk therein. We're going to go to a different church. We're going to walk to a different way. We're going to go down a different path. We don't want that anymore. We're going a different way. And so I want to preach tonight. I'm not on my watch. I want to say, number one, there are some things that we're not going to swap. Some things we're not going to swap. Can I give them to you tonight? Very simple tonight. Number one, we're not going to swap the old time King James Bible. You say, well, that you're just echoing what we already know. Well, I'm glad you already know it, but I think every now and then it's just good to be reminded. Thank God for our King James Bible. We're not just King James preferred. We don't just believe it's the closest to. We don't believe it's the most accurate. We believe it is the only Bible that God gave to the English speaking people. Amen. There are no other words of God out there that are inspired, that are inerrant, that are without error. This book right here is God's wonderful book, divine. If you go up to the Ark there in Kentucky, they've got all those, you know, signs that you can read. And there's a lot of verses that are not King James. But you know what I noticed whenever they put the Ten Commandments up? You know what it says? It's King James. You know why? Because it says, thou shalt not. There's just a little more authority in the thou shalt not than there is the other watered down versions. I'm saying tonight, thank God for the authority of our Bible. We're not going to swap it out. We're not going to swap it for an NIV or an ASV or an ESV. That's the big one today. I call it the elect standard version, that because all these Calvinists that are sweeping our land are bringing in the ESV, and they're very subtle. They're very slick. They sound like the serpent in Genesis chapter number 3 when he says, yea, hath God said? Question mark. They have that weepy type of voice, yeah, that their delivery. They stand up and they almost just feel like they just love you so much, and they just want to deliver this truth to you because they've been enlightened by the truth from God, and they don't want you to be under that oppressive old Bible that you can't understand. Listen, I don't know how hard it is for you to understand, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, friend. Listen, it's not what we don't understand, it's what we do understand. We understand the Bible. We're not going to swap it out. I was reading R.B. Ouellette. I put it on my phone here and saved it to my notes. He wrote a poem, and it says this. I love Brother Ouellette. He went through some throat surgery here about 2 years ago and couldn't preach for a long time, and I think now is to preach with one of them little boxes. And Brother Ouellette, he wrote this. He said, I heard the old-time preacher speak without one reference to the Greek. This precious book within my hand is God's own word on which I stand. And then the scholars came along and said, the preachers had it wrong. Conflictions here and recessions there, scribal errors everywhere. A book essentially correct, but not in every last respect. A fairly certain word, they say, to light our path and to guide our way. Then in despair I bowed my head. We have no word of God, I said. If some of this old book is wrong, pray tell, what else does not belong? Will still more manuscripts be found to make us go another round, correcting, changing, taking out, creating questions, fear and doubt? Must more discoveries come to light before we finally get it right? Will precious doctrines fade away because of what the scholars say? How many errors must we purge because of what the scholars urge? How many versions must we make? How many changes can we take? How will we ever know we're through that we possessed a scripture true? If man must find God's word, my friend, when will the changes ever end? Then to the book of Gen I fled to find out what my father said. Forever settled, never fade. This promise God the Spirit made. 1,000 generations hence, that seems a pretty strong defense. A perfect book that it must be man can't improve what God gave me. We have a book completely true, instructing us in all we do, preserved by God, not found by men, inscribed by God, the Spirit's pen. If God or scholars you must choose, be sure the experts always lose. Don't give to them a second look. Just keep on believing this old black book. Thank God tonight for the King James Bible, and we're not going to swap it out. Did you notice what 2 Peter chapter 1 said when it was talking about the old time? He said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I thank God tonight for this old King James Bible. We're not going to swap out the King James Bible. We're not going to swap out the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen tonight, if you get to heaven when you die, you're only going to get there one way, and that's through the blood of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to get to heaven when you die than through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, what do we believe? We're old time bloody slaughterhouse religion is what we believe. Thank God for the blood in the song books. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I thank God tonight for the blood. The blood still covered it all. The day I got saved by the grace of God, I didn't get whitewashed. I got blood washed. And if you got saved, you got blood washed too tonight, friend. I tell you what this world needs. It needs to be washed in the blood. He said, what's the Bible say about it? For this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. Hebrews 10:4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes made afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:20, and have made peace through the blood of His cross by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be in things in earth or things in heaven. When you get to the end of the Word of God in Revelation 5, verse number 9, the Bible says, and they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. There is no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So we're not going to swap out the blood for any other message. Thank God tonight for the blood. I remember when I was preaching for Brother Burton Gates over in Philadelphia, and he had me staying in this old bar that they had turned into a new church building. They were doing a new church plant. He put me in that thing right there in Philly, and I was all by myself. There wasn't nobody else in there, and I was scared to death, friend. You say, you're a grown man scared? Yeah, I was frightened. I had the lights on, I mean, all night long in every room in the entire church. I wasn't going to turn the lights out. I was in the middle of that spooky city anyhow, in that old bar, and man, you could hear every creak and amen, all kinds of stuff going on. Man, I'll never forget, I turned on my Alexander Scorby. I said, I'm going to play the Bible all night long because I know the devil don't like the Word of God. I finally fell asleep sometime, I don't know, past midnight. I woke up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. It's still dark and I'm still spooked because I know where I'm at. And you know where this boy Scorby was reading? He was reading over there about the Witch of Endor when I woke up. And man, I got scared even more, amen, by the Bible and where I was at. Finally, I turned that thing over there to the book of Psalms, amen, and began to have Scorby read over there. You say, what'd I do? I got up and started pleading the blood, amen. I was pleading the blood over the doorpost. I was pleading the blood over the room. I was pleading the blood over the bathroom. Everywhere I was a quoting blood verse. You say, why? Because, I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of spooks in there. You say, how do you know that? Because listen, Job talks about the spirits, you know, over in the Job talking about your hair standing up. Amen. I forgot how that verse over there goes, but basically, there's a reason why your hair stands up on end sometimes. Because there's something else in the room with you. And man, my hair was a standing up on all ends, man. I don't know what went on in that room, in that building. I've never been in a building like that. I told Brother Burton the next day, I said, brother, y'all need to get the whole church over there, and for about 6 months, just need to play the Word of God, read the Bible, amen, just plead the blood all over that thing, because there's a bunch of spooky stuff going on in that room. You say, what finally got you to sleep? The blood. Amen. I mean, I could finally get a little rest, because we got a bloody religion, and the devil don't like the blood. We ain't going to swap out the blood. We ain't going to swap out the birth. Thank God tonight we still believe in the virgin birth. You know there's people who don't believe that anymore. But without the virgin birth, there is no new birth. If you don't believe the virgin birth tonight, you can't get to heaven when you die. We ain't going to swap that message out. We're not going to swap out the blessed hope. I thank God tonight. Could you imagine what it's going to be like when the Lord comes back? Imagine tonight if you're in here and you're not saved and the Lord Jesus Christ came back. Brother Charles, could you imagine that? A bunch of people, boom, out of here. There's just piles of clothes and glasses, steel plates. Some of the women that wear a lot of makeup might be a big old mask laying there. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's all going to be left behind. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Big old pool of blood. Maybe you're left behind. Could you imagine you losing your mind? So where'd they all go? Where's mama? Where's dad? Where's the preacher? Listen tonight, I thank God for the blessed hope tonight. But if you're here and you're not saved, it ain't blessed. And there is no hope. Oh, but thank God for those of us that are saved by the grace of God. We are moderate, dispensational, King James Bible believers, and we ain't going through the tribulation tonight. Amen? You know why? As Brother Earl Hughes sang that day, he said, I'll be gone. Yes, I'll be gone. When the tribulation comes, I'll be gone. Hey, listen, I'll be gone out of here. I ain't going through the tribulation. You can have it if you want to. That Bible teaches, amen, he which testified these things saith, the second to last verse in the Bible, Jesus said, surely I come quickly, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. I still believe in the blessed hope, and we're not going to swap out the blessed hope message for something else. Used to, you heard people preach on the blessed hope. I remember when I was growing up, about every other sermon was on hell and Jesus coming back. And it worked. Amen? Let me know that Jesus was coming back and I was going to hell. Amen? It got me thinking, amen? We ain't going to swap out the message of the blessed hope tonight. There's some things we're not going to swap. But I want to say number two here. There's some things that we're not going to stop. There's some things we're not going to stop. You say, what are they tonight? Glad you asked. Number one, I want to say this tonight. We're not going to stop old time hard preaching. Amen. Now notice I did not say harsh preaching. There is a difference between hard preaching and harsh preaching. I've been under both kinds. Harsh preaching is all about the preacher. Harsh preaching is all about egotism. Harsh preaching is all about spiritual authority and spiritual abuse. Harsh preaching is all about using the pulpit as a castle to hide behind. Harsh preaching is about using the pulpit as a whipping post for God's people. But hard preaching is from a heart of love. Hard preaching is what God said must be done if a man is to be a preacher that's called by God. Listen, Paul's getting ready to die. He's laying in that prison cell and he's instructing young Timothy before he dies. And he wrote to him and he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And then he looked at it. He said, Timothy, preach the word. Don't preach around the word. Don't preach about the word. Don't preach under the word. Don't preach over the word. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They don't want old time religion. They don't want the old time way. They don't want the ancient past. They don't want the old past. You know why? They want teachers having itching ears. They don't want preachers. They want teachers. The Bible says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He said, for I am now ready to be offered and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give to me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me. Why? He went another direction, having loved this present world. departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans went to Galatia. Titus went to Dalmatia. He said, only Luke is with me. Here's the greatest preacher in the New Testament outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist. Penned 2/3 of the New Testament. He's getting ready to die and he's got one man that's stuck by his side. Only Luke is with me. He said, take Mark though. Bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. We're not going to stop hard preaching to teach. Amen. You know what we need? We need doctrine. You say, what does doctrine do? Doctrine tells you what's right. We need reproof. That tells you what's wrong. We need correction. That tells you how to get right. Then we need instruction. That tells you how to stay right with God. That's what we need. Amen. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. He said, what did you get out of hard preaching when you was growing up? It helped me. It helped my parents. It got my daddy saved and my mama saved. Amen. It kept me out of the bars, kept me out of the backseat of cars. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, thank God for old time Bible preaching. Somebody said you got a tattoo. I forgot who it was the other day, said you got a tattoo. I said, no, I ain't got one. Thank God I didn't get one. If you got one, amen, just put it under the blood and go on. I told a guy one time he had a vulgar tattoo. I pastored him in New Mexico. He had a nasty, vulgar tattoo on his body. He said, Brother Brian, what do I do? I said, man, Lord, I don't know what you do. And then I don't know if it's from the Lord or me. But that's what I told him. I was young. I was about 25 years old. I said, listen, brother, save you up some money and go to a tattoo shop and get something else that you like that's clean and cover that trash up. I don't know. Amen. That's before I knew about laser removal and all that kind of stuff. Amen. I thank God tonight that I didn't get a tattoo. Amen. You say, why? That preacher made me afraid of it. Amen. To preach them Bible verses, and man, he hung me out, amen, over the world. I mean, just told me how it was going to be. I thank God for it tonight. That old time hard preaching. That hard preaching, man, I got spit on. I got sat down. I got screamed at. I got skinned. I got sheared. I got stabbed. By the way, the word sermon comes from the Latin word to stab. That's why sometimes the message stabs your heart. That's where the word sermon comes from. Thank God tonight for the old time hard preaching. But it will save your soul and it will save your life. And we ain't going to stop hard preaching just because somebody said they don't like it. Amen. Just stand up. And there's all kinds of ways to preach hard. I call Brother Hooch. He's the surgeon. Brother Wade Biggs brought that to my attention. I said, that is true. Brother Hooch is a gentle way of doing it. He's got a scalpel that's real sharp. And he will cut you five ways from sideways, and you'll be bleeding all over the place, getting some surgery done. By the way, nobody wants to go get surgery, but you get it so it'll save your life. Amen. Brother Hooch is the surgeon. I'm more like the sledgehammer, amen. I don't know what I am. I need some more surgeon in me. Maybe that's why the Lord's got me here, to learn some things. But there's all kinds. The Bible talks about how that the Word of God's like a hammer. And it breaks the rock in pieces. That's what it does. That preaching, amen, it'll break up the fallow ground in your heart. You got to drop the plow sometimes. Sometimes there's stumps in there. You got to put the dynamite under it, amen, and blow it up. That's what preaching does. So the seeds of the Word of God can be sown in your heart so it can fall on good ground. God said, hey, you need some hard preaching. That authoritative hard preaching. Anointed hard preaching, appointed hard preaching, and some apocalyptic hard preaching. Amen? Old time hard preaching. We ain't going to stop it. Can I say this tonight? We're not going to stop not only old time hard preaching, but I'm going to say this tonight. We're not going to stop Holy Ghost worship. I got to thinking about worship. Worship today has been distorted. Worship today has been redefined. Worship today has been watered down. Worship today has become very shallow. But you know, all the way through your Bible, listen, there was old time Baptists praising God long before the messed up Pentecostals knocked the shout right out of the Baptist. The Baptists used to shout. You ever watch them old clips of them Baptist meetings? They used to enjoy the Lord. But now they sit there like Elijah the wooden Indian. I'm telling you the truth tonight. You read your Bible and you won't get the fact that people sit there with no emotion. And we're not going to stop old time Holy Ghost praising and worshiping God. Listen, you ought to come to church and you ought to say, Lord, I'm going to set my sails towards the winds of heaven, Lord. And God, I pray that you would breathe across to us so that we could, amen, sail on for God so we can go somewhere with God. Amen. You ought to look for opportunities to worship the Lord. Nothing else satisfies. If you ever do it, it'll never satisfy to not have the worship of God in your mouth and in your heart. We must guard ourselves tonight from the dead wood that the devil likes to throw and use to dam up the river of God from heaven's living streams in our life. God, help us tonight to be like the people in the Bible. When they met the Lord and the Lord met them, they expressed themselves. They expressed themselves. Can I give you a few? I preached about him several times. I'll just mention him. The maniac of Gadara, you know what the Bible says he did when he saw the Lord? He ran and he worshiped him. He ran. And he worshiped him. He expressed himself. In Acts chapter number 3, when that lame man that was laid by the gate called Beautiful there, the Bible says that he leaped up and he walked and he went leaping and praising God. Listen, that leper in Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 2, he worshiped the Lord. The woman with the alabaster box, the Bible says that she was weeping and began to wipe the Lord's feet with her hair. Mary Magdalene at the tomb, the Bible says in John chapter 20, verse number 17, that she clung to the Lord. You say, what are these people doing? They're expressing themselves. The woman at the well, she left her water pot and she said, come see a man that told me all that I ever did. Zacchaeus was up in the tree and the Bible says that he came down and he received Jesus joyfully. One of the 10 lepers, the Bible says when those 10 lepers got healed by the Lord, one of them returned with a loud voice and glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet giving thanks to the Lord. And then I was reading here, look at 2 Samuel chapter number 6 real quick. I want you to see this because I think sometimes we just read over the Bible. I hope you read your Bible, but I hope you don't read over your Bible. I hope you take it in. And man, I was reading this the other day and I wrote it down for this point here. You know what David did? David danced. I love this. David got happy. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse number 11. The Bible says this, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household, and it was told him, it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting. You see them? See what they're doing? And with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window. Now tonight, you don't want to be a Michal. You say, why? Because she saw King David. He was leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. She thought he's a Pentecostal. Somebody say amen tonight. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched, and so on and so forth. Look at verse number 20. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. Boy, she had a bone to pick with him. She's going to tell him what she really thought about him making a fool of himself, leaping and dancing and praising God. And how glorious, she said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself. She said, David, you uncovered yourself, made yourself look like a fool. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord. He said, it wasn't a show, it wasn't a put on. He wasn't trying to gain attention to himself, which chose me before thy father and before all of his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, he said, will I play before the Lord? And I will yet be more vile than this, and will be base in my own sight. By the way, if you're going to praise God, you're going to leap and you're going to dance, you're going to have to, amen, get real low. You're going to have to say no to your flesh, because your flesh is going to say, what are they going to think about you? What's your kids going to think about you? What's your wife going to think about you? Everybody's going to think you're a bad Pentecostal. Well, let them think it, if it's before the Lord. And of the maidservants which has spoken of it, and them that be had out. Look at verse 23. Therefore, because of what Michal did, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children unto the day of her death. You know why? She made fun of the man of God for playing before the Lord. You know why a lot of people don't bear fruit in their life? They're not into praising God. When you praise God, listen, sometimes when you praise God, you praise yourself out of a depression. Amen. I mean, just say, Lord, I'm depressed. I'm down in the dumps. I don't even feel like being here today. But God, if you'll give me an opportunity, I'm going to set my sails towards the winds of heaven. And Lord God, if you'll show up and stir around in my heart, I might even praise on credit, Lord. Amen. Just look for an opportunity to praise God. When they're singing a song, and man, the song lyrics bless your heart. It won't hurt somebody to stand up, raise up their hand and say, praise the Lord. You ain't got to make a fool of yourself tonight. I'm just saying, we ain't going to stop it because somebody did it the wrong way, or somebody looks down and criticizes it because of what somebody thinks. We just want to be old time. Old time. Ancient path. Old path. Bible Christians. There's some things we're not going to swap. There's some things we're not going to stop. Let me just mention these last two and I'll be done. I'll literally give you the points because we're out of time. There's some things we're not going to sell out to. God give us some Naboths that'll look at the old time vineyards that our fathers have planted and say to this newfangled religion and this world that's trying to change Christianity and change the church, when they come in and say, hey, go this way or sell that out. Or sell that out. Look at them and say, it's not for sale. It's not for sale. We ain't going to sell out to politics. We're not going to sell out to preachers that criticize. We're not going to sell out to the Pharisees of today. We just want to be old time Christians. And then number four, and I'm done. There's some things we're not going to shut the door on. Some things we're not going to shut the door on. We're not going to shut the door on broken homes. You got a broken home? You're welcome. You're welcome right here. You say, what are we going to do? We're going to love on you. We're going to preach hope to you. We're going to preach, amen, that God could take a mess and make a message out of it. That God could take a disaster and make it a testimony for the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, we're not going to shut the door. There are some places that do, but if you got a broken home tonight, you are welcome. We'll come in here and we'll pour a little oil and a little wine in and we'll pray, amen, preach that Jesus Christ can pick up all the broken pieces and give you hope and give you healing and give you some help, because this is a hospital for sinners. It's a house for hurting saints. It's a place where there's healing for those that have been harmed, even if you've been harmed in church. It's a place of charity and unity and harmony. We're not going to shut the door on broken homes. We're not going to shut the door on beat up saints. You know, sometimes people, by the way, you stay in church long enough, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt by preachers. You're going to get hurt by deacons. You're going to get hurt by Sunday school teachers. You're going to get hurt by missionaries. You're going to get hurt by somebody that you put all kinds of confidence in. You stay in this thing long enough, you're going to get hurt. But don't let it get you away from old time Christianity. Amen. Just stay in the old time way, in the old time path. We ain't going to shut the door on beat up saints. So what are we going to do? The same thing we do with broken homes. Amen. We're going to put bandages on them. We're going to love them. Cry with them. Listen to them. And they pour their heart out. Discourage them from leaving the will of God for their life. Amen. And tell them there's a They're still old-time Christians that believe, amen, the old-time way, that still have the love of God and still have the harmony of the Holy Ghost and still have the unity of the Spirit, amen. It, not everybody's that way. So we don't have to go to the recovering crowd. We can still be old-time and take in and love on the beat-up saints and the broken homes. And we're not going to close the door to burden down sinners. People come in here, they messed up on drugs, messed up on alcohol, tattooed up, pierced up. Amen. Just bottom of the barrel. Skid row. That's why these guys go to prison, Brother Charles, right? Amen. You know why? Because we ain't closed the door on those burdened down sinners. You say, what are we going to do? We're going to preach to know Him and to make Him known. We're going to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them their only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they get blood washed, He can change their life, save their soul, give them something worth living for. You say, what is that? That's old-time Christianity. Not on my watch tonight. By the grace of God, if the Lord help me, as an assistant pastor here, submitted to the authority of my pastor, Brother Roger Hoots, amen. I want to be a help and a blessing to keep this place old time, full of God, full of balance, amen, but staying on that beaten path. When something tries to pull us a different direction, may we just keep it, amen, in the boundaries of the Word of God. Father, I love You tonight. I thank You, Lord, for the privilege to preach a little bit, try to exhort the saints. Father, help us, Lord, to stay, Lord, in the old-time way. Help us to be old-time Christians. Lord, sticking to the old-time ancient paths. And Lord, when the change agents come in and try to change us, try to discourage us, Father, I pray that You'd help us just to stand, and having done all to stand. Father, bless our pastor, bless this church, bless these dear folks that came out tonight. I pray, Lord, that and all the information tonight that was given, I pray, Lord, that it would be, Lord, an inspiration that will cause the transformation through the power of God in their life. Help us now, I pray. Touch us in Jesus' name. Amen.